again, Mike O'Connor, another Geezer Cast for you. Starting to see little gaps in the schedule. It's starting to be spring, and there's a lot going on. It's 60 degrees today. Just about all the snow's gone. Marcy's out taking pictures of butterflies and stuff. So they're just coming out this week. That tune is a new one that's probably a one-off deal. But I thought I would play that because it reflects kind of a new kind of music for me. That's a one-take live piece there where I've got this cool gizmo that I can just basically jam with and it follows along with me. So it's complete with mistakes and everything. And at the end of the show, I'll play the tail end of it where it's going full out and you'll be able to hear the difference. It's really neat. And, of course, the big news is that I finally got my ham license. As you may recall from the last GeezerCast episode, I was all fired up to go get my license. And I got just so close, and then a ton of snow fell on us. We got like 30 inches of snow in a couple of days. Just the first really good snowstorm we've had in forever. And so I ain't complaining, but it meant that I couldn't even get to the garage, never mind get to the ham testing place. So I got skunked the day after the code requirement was dropped by the FCC on the amateur radio license exam. And so I took it last Saturday, a week ago today. Drove up to Cottage Grove, Minnesota, so I practically drove home to St. Paul and sat down with probably, I don't know, 6 to 10 other folks, including a guy that was probably 13 or 14 years old who sat next to me. And I think we were probably the two nervousest guys in the room. And so we carried each other through. We both passed. He passed the technician, and I passed the technician, the general, and the extra license exams all in one shot. So I'm probably the only extra class ham you'll ever meet that doesn't have a call, because usually you get your call letters after you pass a lower grade test like a technician or even general. And I did all three. I did pretty good. I only got 7 wrong on all three tests combined, so I felt pretty good about that. And so now I'm part of the gang, finally part of the ham gang after all these years of being a wannabe. Of course, I'm what's known in the ham gang as a no-code guy, which will make some of them cranky, I bet. But maybe I won't tell anybody else. This'll just be between us. And I am just tickled to death. I went up to Coffee in Menominee today and hung out with the hams that gather at the Burger King right next to the lake. Met a bunch of nice folks. Had a great time. And that's kind of the reason I did it. I don't really know that ham radio is necessarily the ultimate communications vehicle anymore. As people have been saying, you know, the internet and Skype and Vonage and stuff like that sort of eliminated the talk to people far away problem. But I love the gang, and I'm hoping that us newbies will come in and sort of inject some new life and keep the gang going, because the ham radio crowd has always been a great crowd for sort of inventing stuff and hanging together and doing good deeds and all that. And I'm proud to be a member, back golly. And so I'm in. I'm just waiting for my call. In the meantime, it's not a real big deal that I don't have a call, because I don't have any ability to transmit at all. And I probably won't for a while, because the house here at the farm is way down in the bottom of a valley, which is okay for a lot of things. It keeps us from getting too cold in the winter, because the hill behind the house sort of keeps the house from getting really cold. It's good in the summer because it's cooler down here in the valley, and it's closer to the water table, so the well doesn't have to be as deep. And there's a bunch of cool things about this house, but it is not a good place to put radio antennas. The place to put radio antennas is up on the hill, up on top. And that's about 1,500 feet away line of sight, and it's about 250 feet higher than the house. And there's trees on that hill. And so I've been having a great time sort of doing the on-paper engineering stuff, trying to figure out what needs to happen to get going up there. And I've arrived at the conclusion that I need to be a little bit taller than 50 feet, which is too bad because I have a 50-foot windmill water pumper tower left over from the old days that would be perfect, except it's not quite tall enough. And so I'm trying to figure out towers. And there's a plane going over. One of the neat things about being a ham is I don't have to put lights on this tower until it gets up to like 200 or 190 feet. So hopefully that plane doesn't hit my tower. It's certainly going over, right over the house, though. Anyway, so I'm working on towers, and I'm working on trying to figure out how I'm going to generate power up there, because it's going to have to be solar, I think, because of the difficulty in getting, you know, regular grid power up there. That would be horrendously expensive. And then I got to figure out how to get from the top of the tower down here via you know, get the internet down here, because I'm going to use a radio that I can control over the internet, which will be neat because then I can control it from anywhere. I can control it from the house in St. Paul or pretty much anywhere. But I got to get the internet from the tower down to the house. And so I get to do some directional Wi-Fi or some UHF or something like that. And so it's just, you know, it's just tons and tons of engineering. I figure if I get this thing on the air in 6 months, I'll be doing pretty good. Just the tower is going to be a horrendous hassle because one of the things that Marcy and I talked about was the difference between self-supporting towers and guide towers. Guide towers are a whole lot cheaper and they're a whole lot stronger than self-supporting towers. But guy wires kill a lot of birds. And Marcy's the vice president in charge of birds. And guide towers are not an option. So I'm trying to figure out a self-supporting tower that doesn't cost $10,000. And just having a great time with that. So anyway, that's the big news of the week. I got my ham license, and coming up in the background, you can hear my version, a fairly obnoxious version of an old-timey tune called "Lay Me Down a Pallet on the Floor." You Google that, you can find it. Doc Watson did a pretty good version of it. This doesn't sound a whole lot like Doc Watson, but there is a connection in that Bill Thomas, one of my very best friends at Grinnell when I was in college, and we played music together all the time. He and I used to play this song a lot, and I don't imagine that he'll ever hear this, but he would not probably approve of this version. It's not exactly traditional. But again, this is the sort of jam along with my box kind of music. It's not perfect. It doesn't have all the missteps edited out. And one of the things that's pretty cool is that this system will basically follow along on the chord progressions as I make the changes. So it's a lot of fun to play with. So that's what I've been doing. A little ham radio, a little music. Hope you enjoyed this one, and I'll see you the next time.